Good morning and welcome. Isn't it just amazing as we praise God and we turn our hearts and our minds to Him, everything else just disappears, fades away. All your worries, all your cares, the stress, the anxiety, the things that have been eating you, the things that the enemy is using to attack you, and you put your focus on Him. Yeah. The other stuff puts their perspective. It doesn't matter. It's all about Him. And we are gathered here this morning in His name, whether you're here in person or else here online. We welcome you as we come together to praise our God, to learn from Him, and to be equipped to carry it to others. Let's hear from Him through His Word.
Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. And this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Our second reading is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. So ends our reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 12, verses 37 through 50. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in Him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about Him. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in Him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all I have spoken. I know that His command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Lord, Your word, may it speak to us, our hearts and our minds, may it guide us, correct us where needed, and encourage us. Amen. Today's gospel, even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe Him. Wow, these people, after seeing so many signs, things that you can't explain any other way, the signs that he did, you know, healing the blind and the deaf, walking on water, turning water into wine, multiplying fish and loaves. I can't explain them any other way. I can do the equations to show you that they're impossible for humans, but nothing is impossible for our God. So why would they not believe after seeing that? They can't explain it any other way, you would think. Well, why don't people believe? We asked that question Tuesday morning at Bible study. We sort of compiled a list of reasons, some reasons why people refuse to believe, why they choose not to believe, why they don't believe. Perhaps something happened to them or someone close to them. Something that cut deep. The loss, maybe, of a child, or who knows, something horrible. And it's sort of interesting, we discussed a couple weeks ago when we looked at belief rather than unbelief, how some of these same events draw some people closer to God. They turn to him in their times of trouble. But with the same influence, the same event, other people will turn away from God because of it. An interesting contrast there. Others perhaps don't believe because they've never been exposed. Maybe they're raised in an environment where the parents didn't believe, didn't go to worship with their kids, didn't talk about God with their kids. We're to talk about them all the time when we're raising up kids. Encourage them in their faith. As you go down the road, as you're sitting around your house, whatever, just always talk about God and how great he is and what he does for us. Some, perhaps out of stubbornness, they refuse to believe. Maybe their hearts have been hardened by various things. Another one they came up was hypocritical behavior by believers. They see believers who are saying all the right things, but not doing them. And that's the job that each one of us has, right, as an ambassador for Christ. Not only to say the right things, but to live a life that shows that we believe. Because by being hypocritical, we can drive people further away from the truth. And further away from God, who wants to reach out to them, to bring them in, to give to them, to comfort them, to give them eternal life. Another one someone said was, they trust science rather than God. Yeah, bring those people to me if they trust science rather than God. I'd love to have a discussion with them and show them how science just shows us the existence of God. Others want to live their own way, the ways of the flesh. They don't want to give up the fun that they're having in life. Fun, in quotation marks, right? Now, they don't have freedom in that. Freedom is in Christ. And some of us have lived that way, have pursued the wrong things. But you can always come to God and then have true freedom, have true joy, not the temporary things these other things offer. Others maybe don't believe because they can't prove that God exists. Well, you can't prove that he doesn't exist either. And, you know, all the evidence that I see in creation around us, I know, there's no doubt. And once you come to know him and feel that inside you, then there's really no doubt. Others not seeing the results of prayer. We don't always get the answer the way we want it. God's ways are higher, and it's in his time. Some have felt judged by believers. And let us not be people that judge others. Judge not lest ye be judged, right? It's not for us to judge. We are here to love people, to invite them in, to encourage them, to build them up in their faith, to bring them the good news of the gospel. That's what we're here for, not to judge others. So let us as representatives of God not be doing that. Another person had said they don't feel welcomed. And let that never be here. If you see a new face here, make an effort. Make sure they feel welcomed. People come to a church, they don't know anybody, maybe they're new to the community and they're nervous. And if they feel like nobody's talking to them, are they going to come back? No. So make that effort. Reach out, you know, to get to know them and invite them in so that they too can hear what is possible through God and come to know him, come to a saving faith. And some people are just stuck in their ways. But God is patient. He'll wait for you. So there's a lot of different reasons why people don't believe. And what's up with these people here? They saw all these signs, yet they would not believe. Well, this was to fulfill what Isaiah said. God has blinded their eyes, hardened their hearts. Would he do that? Well, he's sort of confirming what they believe. He said, okay, you made your choices. Hopefully they will come around, because God is always willing to take them back. But there were those who believed, of course. There were the ones that followed Jesus. We have the disciples. We have the 12 apostles. We have many followers. But also, verse 42, and I find this encouraging, yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. That's pretty cool, because those are the leaders that are trying to find this way to get rid of him, right? He was a threat to their power, and they don't want a threat to their power. So the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the scribes, all these people that were in power were just looking for a way to get Jesus. They're doing it all through there. They're asking him questions. They're watching what he does very carefully, but they can't find fault with him. Well, imagine that. He's Jesus, right? They're not going to find fault with him as hard as they try. It's not going to work. But these people, they secretly believed in him, but not openly. It follows up, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear they would be put out of the synagogue. They secretly believed, but would not acknowledge him openly. Wow, let that not be us too, right? Let us live out our faith, speak out our faith, share our faith, that others may be encouraged, that others may come to Christ. Let us stand up for Jesus and stand firm on the scriptures. But again, doing it in a loving way, not a condemning way, because again, condemning will drive people further away from God. And we certainly don't want to do that. We never want to drive anyone further away. We want them to come in and get to know him. So for fear they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. Okay, look at the priorities there. Wanting human praise more than the praise of God. Wow. Human praise, yeah, it can be immediate. You know, if someone says something, wow, that was really, you did a good job on that, really cool. But it's only temporary. It doesn't last long. Whereas God's praise, praise from God, might take a little bit longer, but I think all of us ultimately want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's going to mean much more than any human praise possibly could. For God himself to give you that pat on the back. Well done, good and faithful service. Welcome. Welcome to the kingdom. Wow. So if there's ever a choice between human praise and praise from God, you know, think of Acts 5:29, the one that's circled in my Bible. I encourage to circle in yours as well. We must obey God rather than mankind. If people are saying one thing and God's saying another, what are you going to do? There shouldn't be even a pause to think on that one, right? We follow God. We follow God. His ways are good. His ways are perfect. There is no doubt about it. There is no darkness in him. But again, let us represent him in the right way, to seek and to save the lost, not to condemn, but to seek and to welcome in. So after this, Jesus cried out, it says. And in another version, it says he shouted. There's an emphasis here. He's in front of these people, some of them who secretly believe but won't openly admit it, and others who are all in for him, and others who have not believed, even after seeing these signs. But he shouts out, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. Right there, he's saying that he is God. But he's saying it without saying it again, right? Because these people are just looking for any little reason. And he is God, of course. I have come into the world as a light to show us the way, right? We're walking in darkness. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light to show us the way, to expose the obstacles, to lead us, to guide us, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. And we're not just talking physical darkness, right? Also a spiritual darkness. Those who are living without hope. those who are struggling with addictions and other things that the enemy is using to separate them from God. It can be a very personal darkness and a very dark darkness, darker than any physical darkness. But he has brought the light to set people free from their darkness. He continues, if anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He came to seek and to save the lost. Now he will come again, and this time, that time it will, then it will be as judge. Here he's coming to seek people out, to tell them the truth, to bring them in. And when he does come back, then he will judge. And his judgment will be final. And there's none of this thing where, was it people say you're guilty or innocent or you're, what, not guilty, right? Yeah, there won't be three choices, there'll only be two. And we are all guilty, every single one. But that's where Jesus, if we receive what he has done for us, we are cleared of all charges. In God's eyes, he looks at us and does not see sin. Because Jesus took that on himself for us, out of love, on the cross. And that's how he came to save the world. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all I have spoken. Whenever Jesus is speaking, it is God speaking. And he still speaks. Through this word, through his Spirit which dwells within us as believers, he still speaks, and Lord, give us ears to hear. Whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Did the people then turn from what they were doing? Did they start to openly believe after this? Maybe some did. Others, maybe not. And others still, their hearts were so hardened that they would not believe. And some again were seeking the recognition of man rather than God. Well, this is nothing new. Isaiah addressed that 700 years before, as we heard Gwen read just a bit ago. From Isaiah 17, trusting in man versus God. And it starts out, this is what the Lord says. Okay, at that our ears ought to go up, right? At that we should stop whatever we're doing and give full attention. If God's speaking, are you going to listen? Yeah, full attention. This is what the Lord says. And he then looks at two different cases. He contrasts these. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. So we're going to trust in people. If we're going to follow people, you'll be cursed by the Lord. Not good. The one who draws strength from mere flesh, if we try to do it all on our own or else follow our own human mind rather than what he says, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Let us never be that. I know we've all turned away at times, and maybe we still do. But he is faithful and he is good, and will wait for us. He's very patient. Thank God for that. Very patient. But the consequences of this, if you trust in man rather than God, that person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert. That doesn't sound like a good life, does it? In a salt land, where no one lives. Think of salt flats. Is there any vegetation at all? No, nothing can grow there. Immediately dehydrated, doesn't have a chance. Nothing can survive. So following the ways of man, yeah, that's going to lead to that. It leads to death, where nothing can grow. But blessed, here's the contrast, is the one who trusts in the Lord. If we put our trust in him, whose confidence is in him, not only trusting him, but being confident, because we know that he will deliver on his promises. He does. If God says he's going to do something, it's going to happen. Done deal. And we think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding, what your mind tells you, right? In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's what they're saying here. Trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in him. And what results then? Well, certainly not the dry, parched, salty desert. Instead, we have a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. its leaves are always green. There's life there, right? There's life. It has no worries in a year of drought, even when things are dry around it. It's not worrying because it trusts in the Lord, right? And never fails to bear fruit. To bear fruit for Him. Not, again, for our own pride or anything, to bear fruit to look good. No, bearing fruit for God. Well, the choice here should be obvious. Do you want to be cursed or do you want to be blessed? Okay, this, you know, door number one or door number two, and this should be a no-brainer, right? Okay, yes, we seek to be blessed by God. We seek to put our trust in Him, our confidence in Him. All these great things will result then when we do it. The choice should be obvious. So where is your trust? Don't trust in the ways of man. Trust in the Lord. But even today, some people can insist on following mankind, the ways of man, the thoughts. Yeah. Well, that does not lead to good, of course. We've just seen that in Isaiah. But Paul in Colossians addresses sort of the same thing here. We had heard, so then as you receive Christ, Jesus as Lord, that means you are a believer, you have received Him. Continue to live your lives in Him. Don't live for self. Live for Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Rooted. I love that when he says rooted in Him. Roots have a couple of purposes. One, they anchor things. You look at a big oak tree, it's got that big taproot going down all the other roots. It's not moving. The ones with the shallow root system, like a pine, if a wind comes along, it can blow right over. We've all seen that. But if you're rooted in Him, nothing is going to shake you. Nothing is going to move you. You're going to be anchored in Him. And the other thing that roots do is they draw nourishment. When we're anchored in Him, we can draw our nourishment from Him. We can be fed by Him, you know, through His Word, through connection with Him in prayer, through other believers in various ways. We can draw that from Him, and He's going to provide what we need. Again, that green tree by the stream, what we're looking at here. Not something that can't grow in a desert wasteland. So continue to live your lives in Him. Continue to. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith. Again, His strength, right? Not our own. Strength of the faith as you are taught. And overflowing with thankfulness. Next week, we'll look at that. Our lives should show thankfulness. Now, here comes the part where it's the human versus God once again. Are you going to follow the ways of man or follow the ways of God? Again, we said the answer should be obvious. For us, as believers anyway. But for a whole lot of other people out there, many of them are following their own understanding or the ways of man. That don't lead to life. Because there are others that seek to mislead them. Our enemy works through people to draw others away from life. See to it that no one takes you captive. To be a captive, to be unable to resist or fight back. No one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world. Think of cult leaders, Jim Jones and others, seeking to draw people away from Christ. Think of these other pseudo-churches, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. Pray for them. Interact with them. They come to the door. Hey, invite them in for Bible study, whatever, or I'll send them my way. I'll be happy to meet with them. But again, seeking to separate people from God. Hollow and deceptive philosophy. Not the philosophy that we have here in God, but a hollow and deceptive man-made one, which might sound good, might sound convincing, but it's not going to be everlasting. And these hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend on human tradition. Wow. A lot of times I'm glad that we have a youngish church here. We've only been around 16 years. We don't have a lot of rituals or traditions. Maybe you've been in some other churches where we've always done it this way. It has to be this way, something like that. And is that ritual or tradition of God or of man? That's what we must ask ourselves. If it's of God, hey, stick with it, 100%. If it's of man, it should be questioned, okay? And there are traditions of man which can honor God, absolutely. But it should never be about the rituals and traditions. That's the Pharisees. It was all about the laws, all about the rituals, all about the traditions, all about the rules, and that overshadowed God. And what's behind these things? The human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world. Our enemy, who seeks to separate us from God. He sees us walking with God, close to God. He wants to separate us. He wants to drive a wedge in there. He wants to get us apart so that we're vulnerable. Again, sort of like, you know, you watch wolves attacking a herd animals. They'll try to call or separate out the weak or something like that. And they're much more vulnerable when they're away. Our enemy seeks to do that same thing. And he has many different ways to try to separate us from God. Maybe not only in this life, but his goal is to separate us eternally from God, which would be the most horrible thing you can imagine. You want to spend eternity with God or eternity separated from God? Again, the answer should be obvious. So he sent his son to die for us, but also to show us the way, how life should be lived. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. We look at what Christ did, what he said. That's God. That is God. Setting us that example and encouraging us. And seeking to develop us as well. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Wow. All we need, but maturing to fullness. For he is the head over every power and authority. There is no one higher. There is no one greater. Never has been. Never will be. Our Lord. So as you go through life, seek to follow God rather than the ways of man. And encourage others to do so as well. There's a lot of people out there that are still following the wrong things, putting their trust in the wrong things. And Lord, use us to help bring these people freedom and to bring them to you. In Jesus' name, amen.